The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Good Monday morning and welcome to another week of Analyze This here on your NPR station in the U.S. Virgin Islands, WTJX-FM, where yours truly, Neville James. It is a beautiful day in paradise. For real. We're going to call the weather service to validate that in a little bit. I was driving in like 81 degrees, I think it was, when I was looking at the dash. And ain't feeling that humidity yet. It's getting warm during the day. But for the last, like, 5-6 days, we've been getting that breezy intermittent shower to keep us cool. We've been feeling that breeze at night. It's been absolutely perfect here in paradise. And wouldn't want to be anywhere else. National Tax Day, you know, April 15th, you know what time it is. I see Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban wrote a tweet yesterday. He is writing a check for $288 million. Matter of fact, let me pull up his tweet so I could read it. And he took a shot at Donald Trump in doing so. Hold on there. Pull on that there. Bam, bam, bam. Mark Cuban. Hold on there. Trying to find it while we are trying to find this. But we got the weather service on the line, so I'll look for this in between. Good morning. Who am I speaking with this morning?
Hi, this is Emmanuel. How are you doing?
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm good, and you?
I'm doing well. How's the weather down there? It's beautiful up here.
Yeah, well, here we have a mix of some clouds. There are a line of showers approaching our region, so we probably will get rain in likely half an hour. Mm-hmm. So it's probably going to be wet for us. It's going to probably be wet for you, too, later during the day and this week.
Okay, yeah, we've been getting a lot of breeze and showers the last 5-6 days.
Right, so we have a surface trough moving over a region, but also we are going to have an upper-level trough approaching from the west. Those systems will combine, and then conditions will be unsettled over the waters, Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, at least through Wednesday. So you should expect that gusty conditions, showery weather. I mean, it's not that it's going to be raining all day long, but these showers will be moving on and off across the islands through at least this Wednesday.
Wow. What about marine conditions for our boaters and our beachgoers?
So with the trough moving in, there's going to be windy, so seas will be choppy, and also hazardous for the Atlantic offshore waters. Those are the waters north of the British Virgin Islands and well north of Puerto Rico. And then by Thursday, we're going to have another swell coming from the northeast. So, well, it's going to stay choppy and then hazardous due to winds, then to the swell arriving by the end of the week. So not a great week for marine conditions, especially for the Atlantic and the Anegada Passage this week. Well, with all these showers also, there's the risk for some water spouts or lightning strikes with the motor. So you should exercise a lot of caution if you're going to venture into the waters in the next few days.
What about humidity?
Humidity, you know, if we got breaks of clouds with the humidity, it's probably going to be feel hot. But if it stays cloudy, then that will protect us from the extreme heat. However, those temperatures will climb to the mid and upper 80s, with heat indices probably just below 100 degrees for the islands.
So for the week, we're looking at some inconsistent weather patterns.
Right, and with this, the risk of showers and perhaps thunderstorms at least until Wednesday. But you know, after Wednesday, the second half of the week, it looks like it's going to dry out pretty quickly. So it should be a lot better by Thursday and Friday.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Manuel. Appreciate that. And enjoy the remainder of your Monday.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay, good. You too. That's Manuel down in the weather service. So we're looking at some intermittent showers now and again, some rain, upper 80s. I'm saying, so it's paradise weather. We gonna deal with it. I'm saying, keep the island green and all that good stuff. You know what I mean? So keep your eyes out, and for the boaters and the beachgoers, be careful. Okay, exercise caution. Just like what Manuel says. I was saying, Mark Cuban said tomorrow I will wire transfer to the IRS $288 million. Wow, that's like a quarter of the budget for the Virgin Islands. You know what I'm saying? But when you sell, because that's what he did. He sold a part of his ownership in the Dallas Mavericks. You know what I'm saying? So, this is what happens, man. You know what I'm saying? I guess that's a capital gain, right? Capital gain tax and all that stuff. So, we'll see what's going on there, right? Because we got the table talk coming up early this week. A lot of things going on, you know. Like I just mentioned, you know, today's the government day, right? All of us got to, you know, do what we got to do. Civic responsibility and handle that business. And then over the weekend, Saturday, you know, when we heard Iran was going to, you know, send some drone missiles over there towards Israel. So then you look at the map and you see that Saudi Arabia is between Iran and Israel, which means that everything takes time. And apparently the Iron Dome that Israel has put up as its defense shield, it worked almost to perfection. And, you know, and apparently Jordan said anything that comes over their airspace, they're going to lick them down. Some people didn't. Some of the friends in the region didn't like that, but it's our understanding that they said 99% of the drone missiles were intercepted. So, you know, we'll talk about that. We'll break that down as well. And then, of course, trial number one begins today in New York City. I was looking just now on Twitter, and the media, right, the press corps is lined up on blocks trying to get into the courtroom because of the New York case. We call this the Alvin Bragg case, right? We go according to the counsel, right? Jack Smith has two cases, one in Florida with the classified documents and one in Washington with the January 6th obstruction trial. And then you have the Alvin Bragg case in New York, and you got the Fannie Willis case with the RICO conspiracy down in Georgia when the former president called Secretary of State Raffensperger and told him I need to find 11,780 votes. So, craziness in New York City this morning. So we're going to break that down on the table talk. I think Dwayne Henry, trying to get Dwayne Henry to pinch hit because Ronnie and Rocky are not available this morning. Rocky's on assignment. I know that Djokovic, right, lost in the semis at Monte Carlo this weekend. So I'm not surprised that Rocky's on assignment this on Monday. Yeah? I'm just having fun. You know, I don't know if it has to do with his family situation. Because, you know, he did have a death in the family. So if today is that day, then our condolences go out to Rocky because he did lose his brother last month. So if today's the day, he is more than excused. And rightfully so. So we'll get Doug Skoll and Dwayne Henry to pinch hit. So yesterday was the last day of the NBA season. And Marvin Pickering done let me know. He said, good morning, capital gains max at 20%. Do the math. I was talking about Mark Cuban. It's related to the NBA. which ended yesterday, right? Well, first of all, check this out, right? Let me look at this. It said Cuban, Cuban sells interest. Mavs. And see what the dollar amount be. Okay, here's the deal. In December, right? The NBA Board of Governors unanimously approved Cuban sale of the majority stake in the Mavericks to the Adelson and Dumont families and their casino empire. The sale had reported valuation of more than $4 billion. Right? So, 20% of $4 billion is $800 million. You know what I'm saying? So, hold on there. Let me go here. Right? Okay, this is a story from Forbes magazine in January 3rd. Mark Cuban is selling more of his assets to Miriam Adelson and Sivian and Patrick Dumont, the majority owners of the Las Vegas Sands Corp, a company set up by the Sands Corp. Village Walk. RE2 LLC purchased more than a dozen acres from Cuban directly across Interstate 35 from the American Airlines Center, where the Dallas Mavericks currently play. Cuban has owned this parcel of land in the Dallas Design District since 2016 and confirmed the sale of the property to the individuals who purchased the Mavs to the news. Right? Okay, this is about the land purchase. Okay, here we go. Right? In December, right, and I read that part where the sale had reported a valuation of more than $4 billion. Cuban retains a 27% ownership in the team, oversees basketball operations, and serves as the Mavericks' alternate governor. Right? So, at $4 billion, right, capital gains max at 20%, it's $800 million. You say you cut in a check for $288 million, like they say in St. Thomas. Right? Then, of course, they don't tax breaks kick in when you're a business person and all that stuff. So, it's interesting. You know, how this money is so funny for these folks. But he has said that he could have never imagined, right, that he'd get to this point where he's making this amount of money and writing this amount of checks. In checks to the government. I believe he made his money with Yahoo, no? I believe that's where he, Mark Cuban, well, let me write it down. Check, and he took a shot at Donald Trump yesterday, too, because, you know, he's very outspoken and all that stuff. Mark Cuban, Yahoo. You see? Okay, here we go. Right? Mark Cuban. Okay, this is a 2020 story. June 12th. COVID time. Right? This is interesting. Right? Mark Cuban recently said, no, this is June 2020. Just a little bit less than 4 years ago. The current boom in day trading reminds him of the dot-com bubble. Right? Okay, here's how we go. Yahoo bought Cuban's internet radio startup, Broadcast.com, for $5.7 billion in April of 1999. The search giant, and you know, and right now, Google really is a dominant search giant, right? Handed 14.6 million of its shares to Cuban as part of the payment. Yahoo's stock price was about $95 at the time, valuing Cuban stake at roughly $1.4 billion. Right? Cuban could have relaxed and counted his money, but he recognized the tech industry was overheating and feared his stock, which he was restricted from selling immediately, would become worthless if Yahoo ran into problems. In the 80s, I watched PC companies just blow up, go straight up, and then come straight down, he said in a Real Vision interview. I was like, it's going to happen again. Cuban turned to Goldman Sachs for help, as he had worked with the investment bank before. We put together a collar where we sold calls and bought puts. Now I got to go do my homework with calls and puts, right? Buying put options was a form of insurance, as they ensured he could sell his Yahoo shares at a strike price, okay, I understand, I don't know, of $85 if Yahoo stock fell below that level, right? So that's a floor, right? That's a floor level that allows for him, right, to sell his Yahoo shares. Selling call options meant agreeing to sell his Yahoo shares at a strike price of $205 if the stock climbed past that figure, limiting his upside but offsetting the cost of buying the puts. And he said, my hedge worked out perfectly. Cuban wasn't able to execute his plan for a while. I took literally every penny I had and bought puts to protect everything because I couldn't put this collar on for 6 months. And this is the same thing that we were talking about with Donald Trump when he made his media world out there for public consumption 3 weeks ago, Monday, right? Is that 3 weeks or 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago. No, 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, right? Moreover, the tech bubble continued to expand for several months, driving Yahoo's stock price above $230 by January 2000. However, the bubble burst a few months later and Yahoo stock plummeted. Cuban's net worth would have taken a massive hit without his protections. And he said, my hedge worked out perfectly. So that's what it was. He made his money with Yahoo. You remember Yahoo? Yahoo were big before Google, right? Like my email, right? My first email, I believe, was a Hotmail, right? And then it was Yahoo, and now it's Google. But I keep the Yahoo, and I do Yahoo and Google. You know what I'm saying? Gmail, right? But that's a long time ago, man. 25 years. Wow. And his first job was as a garbage bag salesman. And wow, it goes on and on. Today, his net worth, right, as of February 29th, right, is estimated at $6.2 billion, according to Forbes. While Cuban was able to successfully make and save his first $1 million and later flipped it into a billion, it all started with a dream. And in fact, before he was a billionaire, Mark Cuban was a garbage bag salesman. Wow. So it goes on and on and on. So, you know, that's the deal. That's what we're dealing with. So it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Got to pay that debt. And you know, so the government could generate some revenue, meet its obligations. Of course, you know, we get this WAPA situation and all that stuff with rolling outages, or so they say. Hopefully they could avert that. And we'll see what takes place. So we'll take a break. And when we come back, we should be joined by the boys and have a awesome table talk to start the week here on Analyze This, your NPR station in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Be back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Morning Edition takes you across this country and around the world with stories that keep you informed and the context to understand what matters. The news comes at you quickly, but we slow it down to examine each story from different angles and give perspective on what might happen next. A brand new day comes with new possibilities and a new edition of Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
You know a good story when you hear it. Makes you feel, laugh, think. Sometimes you get a little teary. I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday, and each week we bring you stories from around the country and around the world. Stories that help you learn, make you smile, catch you by surprise. Please join us every Saturday for the news you need and the stories you won't forget.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we're back here, Analyze This, and I just got a finance lesson from Marvin Pickering, because, you know, I was talking about Mark Cuban and how he got to where he is today, right? So Marvin Pickering said, but he had basis or a cost that had to be deducted to arrive at that gain. So I had to look up, you Google, that's what Google's all about, right? So I said basis, finance, definition. He said, in finance, basis is generally used to refer to the expenses or total costs of an investment. It can also be used to refer to the difference between the spot price of an asset and its corresponding derivative futures contract. Okay, that's what I hear about that. You know what I'm saying? In the investment world, them contracts, right? For instance, when I used to be studying oil prices, I used to look at that daily when I was a senator. I know we were dealing with. With WAPA back in the first decade in the new millennium and second decade as well early on. And, they used to say about the contract prices for oil, right? It used to be a 90-day deal, right? Whatever you're buying now, right? It's a 90-day application. So, okay, see, I learned something. You know what I'm saying? It's all good. Basis trading is a trading strategy that seeks to profit from perceived mispricing of securities, capitalizing on small basis point changes in value. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So I got some homework. I'm going to enjoy reading this late at night. You know, I'm a nocturnal type, right? So looking forward to breaking that down. So Saturday, which one of them? Ducks? Ducks is on. The handle out of St. Thomas. Good morning, Mr. Majority Leader. How are you?
Morning, Mr. President. How are you?
I'm doing well. Glad to have you on. How's the weather over there in the capital?
Well, the sun is up. It's so cloudy. We had, some showers yesterday and last night. So, we give the creator thanks. But the sun is up. The sun is up. And the roosters are crowing.
So you are not dry like Chip.
not dry like Chip. I am moist like a moist cake.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, so the NBA season done yesterday. Look, it just seemed like the NBA season start in October. You had the in-season tournament for the first time. The Lakers won that one. And now they're in the play-in tournament. They had a big win yesterday down in New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
Where the Pelicans were in sixth place and the Suns were in seventh place, and you need to be in the top six to qualify for the playoffs, and then team 7 to 10, they're in a little play-in tournament to see who the final two teams are. And Lakers beat up on the Pelicans. Phoenix Suns went to Minnesota, and they beat up on the Timberwolves, so they flip. So the Phoenix has now qualified for the playoffs, and the Pelicans are in seventh place, and they're going to play the Lakers tomorrow night to determine who going to be the seventh seed. And then Golden State and Sacramento, they're going to play in the 9-10 game. And then the loser of the 7-8 game going to play the winner of the 9-10 game to determine who's going to be the 8th seed. I want to say right off the bat, me and a big fan of this. with the season as long as it is, Doc School, 80 something games. If you can't qualify playing 80 plus regular season games, something fundamentally wrong with that there. That's just my take.
I really don't like it. And you're absolutely correct. It's more grind on the players to do this.
And money.
And but they're talking about money. They're talking about revenues, you know what I mean? And the business aspect of the game, they believe that they need this to be, you know, to get teams to be interested.
That was the justification for it. But looking back at it, I mean, yo, you play 82 games, my brother. That's a long time, man.
That's a lot of games, man. But baseball play 160 games. I mean, that's a lot of games.
162 games, yeah, man. You know,
a lot of games, man. But it's money, man. It's all about the
money.
Yes, sir. It's all
about
bringing in the revenue. So this guy named Cohen, I forgot his name, Michael Cohen, is a sports writer, wrote a book called The Million Dollar Slave.
Ooh.
You know, I don't know if you read the book.
No, I did not, no.
Yeah, but it's a powerful book. You know, I hate to akin this morning anything to slavery.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the owners have a business to run.
Okay, you're talking about Michael Cohen or William Roden?
William Roden,
William Roden from the New York Times.
William Roden.
Yeah.
And it's a business, man.
Yeah. I see him from time to time on he's been a sports writer. There used to be a show called The Sports Reporters on ESPN.
He used to
be a regular on that, and I think he wrote for the Times. He may have written for the Washington Post though, but I see him from time to time, and I think the name of the book is, let me say, $40 Million Dollar Slaves, right? Yeah. Book by William C. Roden.
And it basically speaks to the fact that, you know, ownership do whatever they want with you. When they don't want you, they throw you away.
Mm-hmm.
But when you try to use your power to go away, then it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
And the whole mechanism in place. Mm-hmm. And you're traded like I said, a comparison back then, the owners don't want you, they trade you or they sell you or they do whatever. So it basically, the concept is, it's a business, man.
That's why you see players letting the teams know up front, right? With a year left on their contract.
Yeah.
I'm not re-signing.
Absolutely.
So make up your mind if you want to trade me now to get some assets in return, because I'm not playing with your team anymore.
Absolutely. And players have reached that point where they have realized, and this is what they're saying, you got to know your worth and what you bring to the league.
Mm-hmm.
You can't continue to start, you know, to be like this. The NBA Players Association is a bargaining unit, and once the bargaining unit put these things in place, it's like contract day, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's contract day, and this is under these conditions of how we're going to play and how we're going to provide our labor to you. And players have reached the point now where they recognize that if I'm not there with you, your revenues are going to go down. So let's use that. But that's basically what this thing is about.
What happened is players have evolved as businessmen and business organizations over the last 50 to 60 years, right? Kurt Flood, right? Remember that name, right? He was the first.
Yeah.
He was the first player. The first free agent, quote unquote, player to call out Major League Baseball, right?
Mm-hmm.
And literally telling me that, you know, Ayogami, like that word that you say you don't want to use this man in. You know what I'm saying? And from there, you created players' associations. They became more knowledgeable about television contracts and all that stuff. So that's why when the collective bargaining agreements are negotiated, that determination is based on, well, what percentage of that money is for salaries and is going to the players,
right?
Because when we know how much that is, then we could establish the salary scale structure for the players, right?
Right.
And that, in particular, in the NBA, right? The NBA got arguably the most attractive salary structure in all of sports, you know, with max contracts. If you become an all NBA player, you're eligible for max contracts and all that stuff. And this is, and you know what? These are guaranteed, you know.
Yeah.
Right? In the NFL, right? A lot of the contracts you might hear, okay, a player signs for 6 years for $150 million, but only a percentage of that is guaranteed. Only very rare. You'll see the entire contract guaranteed in football for obvious reasons, because it's a physical game. Some like to say violent. There are aspects of it that are violent because the players are so fast nowadays and all that. But in basketball, man, most of these contracts are guaranteed, man. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So even when you don't perform, that man will be teasing that man to say, yo, these man ain't playing, they're claiming they're injured. They're literally robbing the team without ski mask.
Yeah. The man sitting on the bench and say, my knee hurting.
Yeah. Like, and look, a classic example is Ben Simmons, right?
Ben Simmons, absolutely.
Ever since he's had that problem in Philly, right? Yeah. When they had that playoff game and that last second play where he didn't shoot the ball, he passed it. And the next thing you know, his back been acting up for 4 years now, then. You know what I'm saying?
Man, his back been acting up, but his contract was guaranteed. They buy him out.
I actually traded him to Brooklyn, and I think he had a 5 year, $180 million. So that means you're making $36 million a year. And if he's played in 45 to 50 games since April or May of 2021, he played a lot of games.
Absolutely. And he getting the big check, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
So sometimes the players get over. I wouldn't want to use get over, but become beneficiaries of the system, and dealing with the owners, because these contracts are projected based on what you're doing now.
Yeah. And how an organization believes you are going to evolve as a player.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the revenues and the fan base like you and all of that. So basically, you know, that's what it is.
You know, I had on UVI president David Hall, and you know, he was a basketball player at Kansas State back in the day, right? And we were talking about NIL, which is big in college now, right? Name, image, likeness, right? And that's how college players are now being compensated. And I referenced to him, right, how the in football, in college football, the size of the college football playoff contract most recently negotiated to, right, in February or March, somewhere around there, compared to the original one, make the first one look like peanuts, man. And it's only been 10 years? Since the college football player, because you had the BCS before that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got so much money, man. TV is money.
It's money. It's big, big, big money. And this streaming and stuff. But never, we never talked about the game, the Lady Gamecocks, man.
Well, like, yeah, man. Because we didn't do the table talk last week, Monday. That's why it was later on down in the week. And we never spoke. It wasn't fresh in the mind on Thursday as it would have been on Monday. But I did bring it up, right? Where the Lady Gamecocks did get some revenge against Iowa, right? Because Iowa had knocked them out in the semifinals the year before, right? And they came back and they beat them in the championship game and had an undefeated season. And our homegirl, Aaliyah, was there working for ESPN, and she got emotional when her team, her players, her coach won that championship. And Cardoza, right? That's a young lady from Brazil. She was the Final Four most outstanding player for the ladies last weekend. I believe they were in Indianapolis. Yeah.
No, they were in Cleveland.
It was Cleveland. Okay, good. Yeah, you're right. They were in Cleveland, and the men were in Glendale, Arizona, on Monday night. Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
But Neville, the thing about it is, right, I mean, you know, we are sport junkies. Mm-hmm. I can say that about me. I can say that about you.
I agree.
And the WNBA, not the W, the Women's Final Four I basically knew maybe 50% of the players in the Final Four. When it came to the men's Final Four,
me know them.
I know nobody.
And, except for the tall boy who went college player the year, Zach Edey. Right?
Yeah, but me didn't even know about him because I didn't follow him like that. You know what I mean? I didn't know nobody in the men's Final Four, but I could name players all the way down the line
Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark is a special player, man. Special player.
Well, she's a special player, and when she come along now, similarly to when I want to liken this to board and magic. You understand what I'm saying? Because the eyes that are on the WNBA came back to Caitlin Clark. And Caitlin Clark, you know, is just a legendary player. The girl can shoot, she can score. She can like 80% of the offense on her team in terms of assists, and scoring.
But you know something too? And you would understand what I'm talking about. We tend to look at the best attribute of a player and not realize that they're actually good in a lot of other aspects as well. She's a good rebounder, and she's an excellent passer, man. She's a great player, man. She's a great all-around player who just happens to be the best shooter.
Well, Neville, the thing is for me, right, I was telling my wife when we were watching the game that I was rooting for South Carolina, but as of today, I'll be rooting for Indiana.
Yeah, man. Yeah. We are Caitlin Clark fans as of the moment the anticipated selection of her as the number one player by the Indiana Fever, right? That's the name of the team, right?
Yeah, the Indiana Fever, absolutely.
Because her joining the homegirl changes everything in Indiana. You know what I'm saying?
Everything in Indiana, and I think it's going to... The popularity of the league, right? And Neville, we always talk about where you get selected in the draft and who you go to, right?
Timing is everything, my brother.
That means everything in your success. So you have an inside game, and now you have the outside game. You have a pass, you have a point guard who can set up the set. I mean, it is awesome. So you can see an upward turn.
For the Indiana Fever,
productive Indiana Fever, who's going to be there?
No, but check this out. If Neville James got a good inside game, and Doc Skoll could shoot the ball from three, and we tell the other, we run a play where Neville James come from one side of the court to post up, and the other side. And Doc Skoll is the person passing the ball to Neville James. They can't double team Neville James or double team Doc Skoll because Doc Skoll could shoot the ball from deep and Neville got back to the basket.
Yeah, and I could kick you off the dribble.
You know what I'm saying? So we're hoping that everything falls into place, and most importantly, because we're going to break now, that both players and the rest of the players on the team remain healthy, because that's what it starts with. And then from there, the numbers and the wins and losses will see for itself. So we'll take a break, come back, talk a little bit more about this, and talk about the fact that Djokovic and Sinner got sent home in the semifinals this weekend in Monte Carlo.
Where's our
co-host? He's on assignment. We'll take a break and be back right after this.
Weekday mornings are a juggle, sometimes even a struggle. Morning Edition from NPR News eases you into your day and keeps you company through the chaos of a busy morning. Hear interviews that give you context on the day's biggest stories, along with reporting and updates on the latest breaking news. Stay on top of the world with Morning Edition every weekday.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
Human beings have been making music for tens of thousands of years. It brings us together. It has the power to communicate emotions and ideas. It's a profound part of the human experience. Hear the stories behind the music you love and new music you might fall in love with. I'm Raina Duras. Join me for in-depth interviews with artists who are continuing that musical history on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m.
on WTJX FM 93.1.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we are not afraid to stand up to the high and mighty like Jeff Bezos.
He had that big cowboy hat on. He looked like a shrink ray had hit Garth Brooks.
I'm Peter Sagal. Join me as we speak truth to power, at least until power agrees to buy us out, on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. Wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
We're back here on Analyze This. We're talking a little bit of sports before we get into the politics. In a little bit, I got Donald Ducks Cole joining me here running solo so far this morning. So, Ducks, we were talking about the college football playoff contract, right? The new one, right?
Right.
And the college football playoff and ESPN, this is March 19th, 2024. Have agreed to a new six-year, $7.8 billion contract.
Billion.
That ensures, with a B, that ensures the network will remain the sole media rights holder of the event through the 2031-2032 season, right? It's a six-year deal. So that means the current contract runs through 2025, right? They gain them. ESPN gonna write a check to college football for $1.3 billion a year, beginning in 2026-27, right? Now I'm trying to find what a previous contract was, because I know that number there is peanuts, right? Compared to what this one be. Your check. Hold on. I gonna find it. So let me see. If the current contract, let me see, college football, ESPN contract. The current contract is an 8-year deal. That means that that means the previous one was in 2018, right? Because that means it ends in 2026, right? 2018.
Yeah, but I don't think ESPN was the sole.
ESPN. ESPN and its networks,
ABC. Yeah, they're connected with ABC.
College football playoffs 2018 contract, right? You know, I like to do my research. You know, yeah, you're the same. You know, we did right, right,
yeah.
Right. I'm trying to find that original one, but I know that. When the football playoffs contract the college football playoffs started in the 2014 season, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it ran from 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. I think it was a 5-year contract, right? And then the next one was an 8-year contract, and now this one is a 6-year contract. That's a lot of money, Ducks. A lot of money.
A lot of money. And what the NFL, what the college have done now, they have expanded the playoff.
Yeah, it's going to eight teams next year, right?
It goes to 8 teams this year, and you're gonna have the different divisions or league, like the Big Ten.
The conferences.
The winners of the conferences are gonna come into the league. And Neville, I just want to interject here. There's a fellow over in Colorado, right? His name is Deion Sanders.
You're talking about a guy that nicknamed Coach Prime?
Coach Prime,
yeah.
Right? And his presence have brought a lot of controversy to college football because, you know, he does things his way. And he said a couple of weeks ago that he coaches his son, who is projected to be probably one, two, three, four players coming out next year, and a guy named Travis Hunter, who is a two-way player. The guy is a beast. And he is basically saying, like Mr. Manning did and John Elway did, if my boys are not going to be chosen by a specific team or specific teams, they're not coming out. They're going to do Archie Manning, you remember?
Yeah. Peyton Manning. No, Peyton. Eli Manning.
And they're not going to, if you pick me, I'm not going to play because guess what? Those guys still have another year of eligibility. His son got the eligibility with the COVID, and the young man is a junior this year, but I think able for the draft next year. So he is making a statement like we were just talking earlier about where I want my boys to play, and everybody vexed with him, but nobody was vexed with Archie Manning, nobody was vexed with Dan Elway, but they're vexed with Prime when Prime say my son's. Okay, he referred to the guy, you know, he ain't his son, but, he came with him. He was the number one player in the nation who went to play with him at Jackson State, the first time that had ever happened, and transferred, went in the portal and went to...
Because what happened was a lot of these players, they typically go to the big-name schools, Florida State, Texas A&M, Texas, Alabama, Ohio State, what have you. But when Deion went to coach at Jackson State, some of these players said, no, man, we could go with him because he don't get the same amount of TV publicity like the rest of these big schools.
Absolutely.
You check?
And last season, Deion Sanders' team, the Buffaloes, were on TV every week. And
yes,
they brought in money. And, I mean, they just turned the whole program around.
Yeah.
So the eyes are up there. The haters are there. The great Saban retired from Alabama. Because he can't deal with the NIL and the collective situation. Because back then, you had total control of the players.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have the portal, Neville, where the portal now becomes like a draft where players can leave and don't have to be penalized a year. So if I go to a thing...
We never heard of the word portal until COVID.
And we in the Virgin Islands just put the portal together.
We create the travel portal here in the Virgin Islands, man.
Yeah. We put the portal together here in the Virgin Islands.
Okay.
So the thing about it is, Neville, is that the whole thing is upside down and Prime, you know, build a team out of a portal and can't in the portal again and he's doing it and they had a story that he don't go to houses anymore. He don't go and see nobody home anymore. And Prime say, the players them in the portal who you guys drafted, you didn't go to their homes. And all the quarterbacks, Neville, that's in the draft draft this year, all of them came out of the portal.
I got a joke for you, man. One of your people, them, right? Their son, me gonna call him name. I gonna get him away. They say, what? Ducks know about sports. These people forward the outer place, you know. Eh?
Man, they out the order.
A man like you who play tackle football for Charlotte Amalie High School, he got a gall. They call or according to you know, there's a lady who used to work for Lorraine Berry named Francesca Greaves. And she used to write for Lorraine Berry. And Lorraine Berry sent out a tome and she was going after a certain lady. And she said this person had the colossal gall. Right? Eh? And I gonna text you the name of the person who make the statement, right? I wanna give them away because you know them well, very well. But they got a colossal gall to come text me to say that you know about sports. Well, my peace. That's a condition for being on this show. This show is about politics, about runnings, financial runnings, and sports and everything and arts, right?
And that person should know that I know about all the sports. Michael can't
I could deal with soccer. I could deal with
anything.
Cricket, I could deal with this. I could deal with everything.
Tell him who was the first man from the Vista to play in the West Indies team again.
He was a leg spinner called El Comido Willis.
El Comido Willis. I like that. Hey, by the way, you know I enjoy doing the research, right? I find the thing. The original contract. Remember, we were counting the years, right?
Right.
It wasn't a 4-year deal and then an 8-year deal. It was a 12-year deal, right? ESPN signed a 12-year contract with the college football playoff at its inception, allowing it to air the 2 semifinal games and the title game. The $5.64 billion deal was worth an average of $470 million annually, right? Now, could you imagine the new contract for half the amount of time, 6 years, is worth $7.8 billion more than the first 12 years combined?
That, I made a point that Prime, because if Prime make the playoffs, ESPN will make back all the money in one year.
All they want is for 1 year for Colorado to make the playoffs.
To make the playoffs,
And they're going to get back everything. Yo, this is a classic, right? Classic application of Peter Tosh song, Don't Press a Man, right? When he said, them no want no money. They run left money. Cause money get funny. Wow.
Well, Neville, we can juxtapose that this discussion to politics, man.
Yeah, man. Don't press her, man. Yo, this is money. $1.3 billion a year for the college playoffs.
Yeah.
But you know why too, right? Because they double the amount of games.
Yeah, the double amount of games. Yeah, absolutely.
You check this. As a matter of fact, no, they're actually exceeding the amount of games. It's more than double. It's more than double, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Let me say, because now you got three, and with the new setup, it's gonna be eight. It's gonna be seven, yeah. Right? Yeah. Because you're gonna have the quarterfinal games because it gone to eight, right? That's four games. Then you got the semifinals, and then you got the final game. Right?
Yeah.
So you got seven games in total. Now we got three. So they're more than doubling. So that's probably the reason why they go pay that extra dollar there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, these guys are there. But Neville, what's happening now is streaming.
Everything.
Streaming is now entering into the mix. When we go to the NFL, we have games that are being streamed right now.
Peacock, so, Prime Video, yes. Apple TV. The list goes on and on, man. But check this out, right? That's where the fiber from down here and St. Croix could come in valuable, my brother. Right, right?
Yeah.
The ability to stream through this and connect through this fiber. I ain't got to be limited to sports. It could be a number of different things. You know
everything,
what I'm saying?
Everything. Economics, e-commerce, the whole world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that's why it's important. And don't forget, you know, we have had, and you played a part in this, we have had Virgin Islanders, right? Who have played in the NFL, have won Super Bowl, been on Super Bowl winning teams, right?
Yes.
You got, what's his name, Lanval Joseph, right?
Lanval Joseph, Lanval Joseph, he's still in the NFL, still making some money.
Still making money, right? He and Quentin Coriat, right?
Yeah.
Well, from St. Croix, from St. Thomas, the one that you recruited for West Virginia, Ronaldo Turnbull.
Ronaldo Turnbull.
The boy Faulkner. It was one Faulkner or two of them? It won two? Or just one?
I think it was one, the big one. What's his name? Yeah, he used to play for the Cardinals.
Is Jeff or Joe or Joseph?
Jeff Faulkner,
yeah. He played for the Vikings and the Cardinals, right? Yeah man. So we got some say. We got some say in this as well. Hey, one more thing about Deion Sanders. And I was reading this the other day. He took some shots at his players last week. Because the professors, and this is why Deion Sanders is more than just a personality. He's genuinely, right, a very straightforward, candid, and outspoken person looking out for his players. He told his players, I hear Ayo disrespecting the professor them and ain't want to learn Ayo lesson, but Ayo ain't about nothing. And he has the ability to tell them they ain't about nothing because he don't make money in his sleep. You check what I'm saying? And that was refreshing to hear a coach letting his players know, look, don't believe because you're playing for a high-profile university because I'm the coach of the team that you could go into class and do what you want. No.
Never.
You ain't got no money. You ain't bought nothing yet. So yeah. Learn your lesson while you're here.
Neville, I follow Colorado football, mm-hmm. right? They have an outlet. His son have an outlet that they call his webpage. Damn, I'm losing his thing. But everything, you could see the game. You could see the practice, Neville. I mean, this thing takes me back. I'm inside all of these practices looking at it. Well off media. If you Google Well Off Media, that's Deion Sanders' son, and you get everything. Them are now into the ninth scrimmage, and the game is going to be next Saturday, the spring game.
The spring game, yeah.
Spring game in ninth Saturday. They're going to have a big thing. But the thing with that statement, Neville, which was so profound, is that he said to other coaches in college, if this is what you're doing to your students, you need to stop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because only 15% of the players on that team have the ability to go to the pros.
Correct.
When they leave, they have to have
an education, something to fall back on. Yeah, man. Yeah.
And it took me back to the great Dexter Manley, Neville. And, you know, these guys are...
Yes, sir. Great defensive player for the Washington Redskins back in the day. Yeah, man.
Yeah, you know, you guys talking about knowing about sports.
He admit that he couldn't read and write.
He couldn't read and write. But Dexter Manley was one of the greatest NFL players, but couldn't read and write. And he used to mask it walking around with the Washington Post and all of that. He couldn't read and write. But he was able to go to college because of his talent.
Yeah, and
make it to the NFL.
Yeah, man, and that was that is one of the greatest frauds perpetrated on black people over the years. And
that's endemic, Neville, with a lot of the programs in America. They use you
because you can make money for them.
You can make money for them, and they throw you away like an old pair of sneakers.
Yeah, man. That is not good.
Prime is saying, listen, when you come here, I want you to leave here, and I promise parents, when you come here, you're going to leave here. If you don't make it to the big league, you're going to be able to support your family.
Yes, sir. At least be able to read and write and conk, man. That's the most important thing.
Absolutely. That is key, and that was profound.
Yeah. We're going to take a break on that high note right there and be back right after this.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday. In these divided times, what could be more important than a conversation? Conversation with someone we don't know, someone we think we know, someone with whom we disagree or think we do. Join us as we ask questions of politicians, ranchers, parents, athletes, activists, gardeners, writers, and lots more. Then listen along with you.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's powerful.
On Finding Your Roots, Alanis Morissette.
My family would often say, can you just stay still for 1 minute?
And Sierra.
I have a greater appreciation for American history and my history.
An ancestor stunt.
Can you imagine taking a boat over those falls?
What?
And a family secret.
Your biological great-great-grandfather was white.
Oh, wow.
Tune in April 16th at 8 p.m. on WTJX-TV Channel 12.